So, let's get started, right?
Right.
Let's get it going. You've had 7 days of break, right? You know, just to get going with the year and so on. But now, the time has come. You're looking at me like, what? It's okay. I don't know what I'm talking about either, so we'll figure it out. Uh, 2017 is gone, but there may be some things still hanging on to us, like leeches, right, from the year before. And to that I say, let all that have breath, praise the Lord. There are many things that are beyond our control, but God is still God. And now we start 2018, and no matter how much havoc, no matter how much destruction, no matter how much confusion and disillusion in our lives, our neighbors' lives, or our family lives, or the ones that we love, our nation's life, or even our world, it's very important that we continue to praise the Lord. I truly believe that God inhabits the praise of his people. If you want to be in God's presence, lift them up. Now, as far as the church calendar is concerned, we are in the season of Epiphany, right? Anybody here, NPR here? No one? Oh. Well, now I'm going to have to tell the whole thing, you know. There were folks talking in NPR about their tradition. Now, people from Puerto Rico who have moved to the States and, you know, the Northeast, where snow and all kinds of things that are different from the island. And they're trying to come to grips with what it is to be in this mainland. And not only that, but what about our traditions, right? In Puerto Rico, the most important date is not Christmas. It is Epiphany. That's when the wise men are celebrated and the gifts are given, right? And as I mentioned before to you all, we take any opportunity to celebrate and have fun. So, you know, whether it's Christmas, you know, 6th of January, we do it. But it was important for them to, even for the children, bring some kind of normalcy. And Epiphany is one of those seasons or things that are celebrated in order to do that. Now, for those who don't know, Epiphany means revelation, right? Right? Some of you know. It means revelation. So, the season that the church celebrates is a season where we recognize the revelation of the Son of God to the world. Amen? So it is a matter of not only a celebration for us, which is how what it becomes, right? But a celebration of the fact that the Son of God showed up. And if it was in one of those churches in Latin America or Puerto Rico, they would be saying, praise the Lord. But not here. Okay, that's all right. You can say it in Spanish if you want. Again, you know, they celebrate that scene where the wise men come, see the Lord Jesus born. It was revealed to them through the star to come to Bethlehem and see him in the manger. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. It is an epiphany that was given to those who went there. that Magi scene in the Gospel of Matthew, I really love it. I could tell you more about how, again, we celebrate it in our tradition, but the fact is that they give gifts to Jesus, recognizing him as the newborn king. And not only that, but remember, to a dream, they are sort of steered away from going back to Herod and saving themselves and saving the Lord Jesus. And that is all good. But what we see in this epiphany in Mark is really outstanding. I had never looked at it before this way. I'm trying to build some tension here, guys, you know, so that you are like expecting to see what it is. It's going to take another 2 pages, okay, of my sermon before that happens. So please stay there, hanging on to it, okay? This is outstanding. And you'll see why. You know that at the beginning of the text, everything is about John the Baptist, right? How he proclaims baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. You remember that, right? Now the word proclaiming is repeated in Jesus' case as well. But John, it's sort of described to us as how he's dressed, what he eats, what he's proclaiming. And that's all good. And I think that that's in itself is really outstanding. But the part that I think that is more outstanding is how he introduces the one that is coming after him. He labels him one that is more powerful than I. You remember, right? You're with me? And one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's exactly what I expected to see from you when I mentioned Holy Spirit. It's like, and that's how everybody looks right now. Yeah, because whenever we mention Holy Spirit, it automatically clicks in our brain as strange, right? Something otherworldly, something maybe powerful. So he says, more powerful than I, and one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit while I baptize in water. Now, this can turn into a whole discussion about baptism, and that's not where I'm going to go today. It'd be nice, but that's not where I want to go today. Today, I just want to note that distinction that John the Baptist is making between him and Jesus, and how he includes that mention of the Holy Spirit, because that's going to become key in the days to come. Now, first, John is actually asserting that he has power, right? Because when he says that the one that is coming has more power than him, he's actually saying, I got power. Are you following me, right? I got power, but the one that is coming is way more powerful than I am. Now, when we think about power, what do we think about? A Camaro with a 350, whatever, I don't know. I mean, a locomotive. I mean, we talk about power and we hear immediately the broom of my motorcycle, right? But there's different kinds of power, right? There's that locomotive, the kinetic power. But there's others. Do we think about strength? I mean, what do we think about when we mention that word? John describes this as Holy Spirit power. And that's where he leaves it. until Jesus appears in the scene. Now Jesus gets baptized, and something happens that I think is the most outstanding of all suspense, right? In this whole picture. Verse 10 says that he looks up and he sees the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descends in form of a dove, descends on him. Right? Oh, nice. That's somewhat cool, isn't it? But there's a voice that declares something. The voice first IDs him. He identifies him as, "You're my son." And then shares an opinion of him. What is it? I'm well pleased. He tells him how he feels about him. I don't know how to express this. If you were Jesus and you saw the heavens open up and the Spirit of God come down and just present himself on you, and then you had a voice identify you and share the positive opinion that he has of you, how would you feel? Now, I want you to think about this for a little bit, because it doesn't say that everybody else in this place is seeing this. Mark is very particular about what he shares. He shares that Jesus is the one that is seeing this. Now, when we look at the movies, right? How is that expressed? How is that shared? It is shared like everybody is checking this out and they're like, whoa, you know, this is really weird. There's loudspeakers and there's this voice that is coming over and saying, this is my son. But that's not what happens. What Mark is saying, that somehow Jesus himself is the one that is seeing this. And he is the one that's soaking up this experience. He's the one that is hearing this voice. So we don't know, right? We don't know if it was a voice that everybody heard, if it was a dove that everybody saw, if it's a sky that everybody experienced. We're left to wonder. But what I'm left here is that the one who had an epiphany that day was probably Jesus. See, I had never looked at it that way. Why would he have to have an epiphany about himself? See, maybe this was the moment of discovery of who he really was. Maybe this was the moment where Jesus realized what God was going to complete through him. It's very possible that Jesus was just walking around the earth being the Son of God, but not necessarily being aware totally of what it meant. Now we do know some things about that. When he was a young kid, he went into the temple. You remember that, right? And the teachers And the priests were really amazed about this guy. This little one knew more than they did. And not only that, but he spoke about his father. But I want to say that everybody in the time spoke about God as Abba. But this moment, I believe, and it can be gotten from the passage, is where Jesus really gets it. This is the spark that gets his ministry started. Now, we need to understand that somehow Jesus had to have walked all the way to where John was, right? He didn't just appear on the scene. Somehow Jesus had to make a decision that day and say, I'm going to see John. And now you know that this, how much time do I have left? Oh man, we won't be able to get into that. But anyway, just think about it. He had to somehow be obedient to his own self and say, okay, I'm going to go there and I'm going to do this. Maybe not knowing what was coming. Now, the Holy Spirit thing was that empowering element that Jesus needed to fulfill his calling and his mission. At least that's what I gather from the text. Before them, he was just hanging out with the guys, you know, doing his carpentry thing. He knew how to build tables and furniture. But something happened that day. There was a revelation that day. And from there on, Jesus really gets going in a different direction. Now, the reason why I'm saying all this is because, to me, this is not just about Jesus. The letter of 1 John says in chapter 3, see what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. I hope you're with me, guys. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And we are called children of God. In other words, if we are in Christ, we are also children of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So my question to you is God pleased with us? Take that one home and figure it out. I mean, I know about the identification thing, right? We call ourselves what? Christians. That must mean something. It must mean something about us and our relationship with Christ. So, maybe the question about God being pleased with us can be an epiphany for us. And I'll try to answer it this way. Maybe God is pleased with us in Christ. You see, because it's through Christ that everything happens in our lives. It's not necessarily that you are great, because I know I'm not. Now, Joel is great. That's cool. But that's a different story. He's taller than I am. You see, the thing about this is, maybe the point is, if we are in Christ and God is pleased in us when we're in Christ, what does that mean for you and for me? Not only are we in Christ, but if we are in Christ, that means that we have a purpose and a mission. Come on, people. Amen. Right? If we are in Christ, that means that you have a purpose. Amen. That He has prepared, given, and done everything needed and required for you to participate in what Christ has done and will do and is still doing in our lives. Each one of us has gifts. Each one of us has skills. Each one of us has goods. Each one of us has personality. But that's not all that we have. Because we also have the Holy Spirit of God. If we are in Christ, that means that we're somewhat enrolled. You know, baptism, joining part. That was the other part I couldn't. It's all in this thing, right? It's like a burrito. What's inside is all a whole mess of things. But we are wrapped. We're somewhat involved in this Christ thing. And if that is the case, is the Holy Spirit of God to be just wasted? Please hear me. It's just to be used in each one of us? Or is it to be employed in the kingdom? So let's get started, right?
That's right.
As we start 2018, let us have our goals. I know that, you know, time of resolution and all that stuff. I heard this fellow this morning saying, I try to improve myself every day so I don't have to make resolutions in January. So, you know, I think that's cool, right? I mean, we can have all that. Maybe we can really have our own desires, our own dreams, and, you know, our own things to do. But keep in mind that we also have a mission. And for us, it's really simple. Reach, teach, and serve. All right, I ran over 5 minutes. I mean, I really would like to continue, but that's all I wrote. So let's pray. Father, we've just come over this season of Advent where we talk about joy, peace, hope, the light of God through Christ. And it seems like after the season, things just wind down and we may just get comfortable and get ready to do our thing. And I truly pray, God, that you continuously continue to remind us about your Spirit, about your kingdom, about your purposes, about what you are doing in us, in our families, in this community, and in the until the end of the earth. I pray, God, that you help us, reveal to us, help us to have an epiphany about what you are doing, that we may be part of it and join you. In Jesus we pray, give you glory and thanks. Amen.